Pastor Billy, good morning. Naimbag ngagsapayo amin kakabsat for those who are in the north, in the Philippines. And for us Tagalog, magandang umaga po sa ating lahat. At maayon sa mga Bisaya, tama po ba? Maupay, maayong aga, buntad, okay. So maupay, aga naman sa mga, sa Mindanao. Well, hindi ko na alam, ma'am Nat, sa Pambutuan. Well, anyway, so good morning for everybody. And I just want to thank you first for extending your hand and your help during those times of need for the 28 families affected by fire. And we just want to thank you so much, and may the Lord bless APNTS. It's just so nice to see our APNTS family, that they extend their hands, even their pockets, even their prayers. And they keep on texting me and asking me, what do they need? More that they need. And I said to myself, this is Christian family. It goes beyond the borders of nationality. It goes beyond the border of blood. It goes beyond the social status of anyone. And you know what? The community of Bravelas are so thankful, because they've seen how we open our doors, how we open our hands, and how we prayed for them, and how we embrace them. And that's really touching. Because these people, a lot of them are not attending the church, but they are sympathizers of the church. And they said, the Nazarenes and the people of the APNTS is really our neighbor. Amen? So I just want to thank you for all the love and the compassion that you shared to us. Before we will proceed to what the Lord wants to tell you and God has impressed in my heart, I just want us to please stand and read. May I ask Melvin to read the passage in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 13.
Thank you so much. If you have Bible, please open us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God, for Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God who I serve as my ancestor did, with a clear conscience, and night and day I constantly remember you in my prayer. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Louise and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Verse 6. For this reason, I remind you to fan into blame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on my hands. For the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but give us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel. By the power of God, He has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life in immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and apostles and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yes, this is no cause for shame, because I know who I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, praise team, to those who are part of the program today. And I am a fan of Kobe Bryant, and we also whisper our prayer to him. And I'm a basketball NBA fan. And I'm just fascinated to, after he retired, there are a lot of features about Kobe Bryant that he was really a father to his daughters. And as I read the story of Kobe Bryant, actually, I am just so happy to see that a lot of NBA players right now, and even sports icons, that they give time to their family and kids. And this is just fascinated me to see how this man, at his early age, together with her daughter Gigi, died in the crash last Sunday. And it really breaks the heart of the Filipinos. They love Kobe Bryant. Well, just remembering him. Because I'll be talking about the fathering or mothering in discipleship. And if you say father and mother, who are the fathers and the mothers here? Please raise your hand. Thank you so much. Now, maybe you can relate to me to what will I say. And maybe some of you who has these disciples with you, and then you can relate to me with regards to this fathering and mothering of in discipleship. That discipleship is not just simply mentoring or becoming a teacher and a student. Christian discipleship is modeled by Jesus himself, as we know. It was reflected to all those who follow him. And the intimacy of that relationship does not only come from the first meetings. Rather, it grows from day to day and year to year, transforming this discipleship relationship into deeper intimacy of fathering and mentoring, or fathering and mothering. Do you believe that? That it does not only end to the first year or second year of meeting, but it goes on. Time is a factor in discipleship. Discipleship is a talk of the church and the communities. As you go around and even go to different bookstores, you can see a lot of lessons, a lot of books that you can read. And many of our pastors, our theologians, and writers are writing about discipleship. And it is so helpful for us, especially for those who are starting the churches and starting the small groups. These are all helpful for all of us. And this really helps us to start or maybe look into different lessons of discipleship. And maybe all of us seminarians are doing discipleship. We have our small group. We have people. We are discipling online, maybe a personal discipleship. Well, we know that discipleship is right now the key term that we always hear from our leaders. Christ-likeness is the qualifier in our discipleship. I remember Dr. Mark Lowe, our regional director. He once said that discipleship is our mission, not evangelism, not church planting. When we start with discipleship, he said, evangelism happens and churches are planted. When we disciple, lives are changed. Amen? Amen? Do you believe that in your classroom, discipleship is happening? Do you believe that your teachers, your professors, in the classrooms of APN test, there is discipleship that is happening? Of course so. Dr. Mishmo Dean is my discipler in the Old Testament. I've learned a lot about, I remember Dr. Modin, remember the camp about Old Testament covenant? We've did it. And we had a camp about the altar, the centrality of the altar and the worship in the Old Testament. It really stuck in my heart, the importance of that altar, that whenever Abraham goes from one place to another, he brought his altar with him and he built the altar. Wow! And Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, so on and so forth. Wherever they are, they build the altar, meaning they worship God, they call upon his name, to Yahweh, to Adonai. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Dr. Wadin, for those Hebrew and for those Old Testament. He's my discipler with Old Testament. And even, where's Dr. Land? Okay, so you know what? I am nervous right now because I took my passage in New Testament. And I hope that Dr. Lan is not around. Because he's my disciple in New Testament. And you know what? Oh, praise the Lord, Dr. Lan is not around. Well, okay, so don't tell that to him. So as we disciple, lives are changed, relationships are formed. Both the discipler and the disciple go deeper and deeper, and both go out to do mission, and both are going deeper and deeper, not just in their relationship with the Lord Jesus, but the relationship, the dynamic of relationship between the discipler and the disciple. Do you believe that there is a wonderful and deeper relationship happening or being molded as you disciple your discipler? As you disciple the mentee? I think so. Again, Dr. Mark said, I'm an avid fan of our leaders. To be missional, he said, and as imitators of God, we need to go out and we need to go deep. That is discipleship. But going out takes two by two. It takes a group. It takes a community. You will not go out alone. You have a community backing you up in prayer. And that is still part of discipleship. There are so many dynamics in relationship happening when we disciple. As we go further in this word, Christian discipleship moves us from being a mentor to a father or mother to those whom we disciple. We consider them as children or sons, as daughters in the Lord. Well, what is discipleship anyway? Again, there's so many this definition about discipleship. There's so many things that we can have in our Google, and we can just click it and you can have it. You can download a lot of PDF, you can download a lot of PowerPoints that talks about discipleship. For me, this is my definition of discipleship. Well, I'm sorry I did not prepare my PowerPoint. I intentionally did not. Why? I want you to write down and I want you to listen. Because we are now missing the art of listening. We just click and take a shot. If you want to get my manuscript, I can send it to you. It's okay. Would that be good? Well, I'm sorry. So I really intentionally did not do some PowerPoints every time I preach right now. And that is what I do to my church. Because I want them to take their ballpen, to listen to me. Discipleship for me is a missional process. It's a missional process of intentional life-to-life investment to and with someone for a two-way Christ-like transformation. Sometimes we think like this. If I disciple, I want God to transform him. I want God to transform her. Well, that's wrong. There's mutuality of change. There's mutuality in that dynamic of relationship that he will be transformed and I as discipler is also transformed. Because I need to adjust to the character of this person from one person to another and another and another. Let us then visit Paul's letter to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. My mentor, Bishop Benjamin Ramos, once said to me, and he is always quoting this before he died, and he always preached this one to all pastors. He said in Tagalog, sa paglilingkod, puso ang puhunan. In the ministry, your heart, your life, is your investment. Not your money, not your degree, not anything else. Not even your good looks, not even your connections, not even your height, not even your nationality. Your puhunan, your investment, is your heart, your life. Amen? Are we investing our life to those people whom we minister? Or we are so confident enough that we have this good looks, that we have this degree after seminary, that we are a Filipino, that we are so versatile? I don't think so. Because this man who quoted this, he looks like a goons. And he's a former addict, and he was actually nagtitinda ng mga pusher and drug lord, gambling lord, and his lord, he's the lord in Tondo. That's Bishop Boy, and he did not have any degree. Because when he was young in Tondo, he's only grade 5 when he started selling drugs. And he's a godfather in their place. And he said, sa paglilingkod, puso ang puhunan. For sure, we cannot deny the fact that Paul has given up all his life to Christ. Actually, the heartbeat of his ministry is this: for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He wrote that in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. And I'm pretty sure that Timothy, before he wrote that, within 10 to 15 years of being together in their journey together, Timothy and Paul, Timothy already heard these very words from the mouth of Paul, that in their companionship works in the mission, he is always hearing a lot of words from his tatay or father, Paul. Well, in Acts chapter 16, we know that Paul brought Timothy from Lystra with him in his mission. It was believed that Timothy was only about 20 years old, very young, when he started traveling with Paul. And they were together for about 15 years. Especially when he now came to write this letter, the second letter to Timothy. Now, there were no accurate dates, but as far as our biblical theologians are saying, it is more than a decade of being together in the travel to missions. And it's not more than 2 decades or 20 years. So some theologians are saying about 15, 14, 16 years of being together in the mission. Wow! Jesus was with his disciples for more than 3 years. And it was written in the gospel. And not all conversation of Jesus to his disciples was written in the gospel, right? And even John told us that if he will write all this conversation, the Bible is not enough. All books will be written. What if we record all the conversation of Paul to Timothy for 15 years to all of his disciples like Timothy? How many books can we write? And the relationship within 15 years or more, maybe it's so rich. That relationship is so rich that 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy is not enough to describe the richness of that dynamic relationship of Paul and Timothy. Paul was in his second imprisonment. He was dying. He's just waiting for the full trial. He's dead. And Timothy was handling a problematic church in Ephesus. He left Timothy in Ephesus. Now Paul is writing, actually, an old man, Tatay Paul, is writing his last will and testament to his son, Timothy. Now, let us try to see the fathering of Paul to Timothy. The life and love of Paul is his investment in his fathering to Timothy. The life that we are saying here is, it includes his time being together. Time. Second, he invested his resources. Maybe Paul taught Timothy that tent-making ministry. We don't know. But I am pretty sure that Paul, we know in the book of Acts that he has what we call the tent-making ministry. That he is not very dependent to some of the supporters, but he is working so that his ministry will be supported. I believe that Timothy also learned that. His knowledge and all his intelligence, he invested that. I also believe that nothing is hidden that Paul did not say to Timothy. All the secrets of his life, I believe that Paul shared. His actions, his words, how the way he eats, he drinks, he laughs, and how he did all these things. How he became so frustrated. Imagine 10 to 15 years of being together. All the ins and outs of Paul, I believe Timothy knew it. His emotional and psychological investment. How he became so angry with Timothy. You know, Timothy, you're so hard-headed. You know what, my son? Don't be shy. Come on, do it. He invested his life. If we say life, time, resources, knowledge, the intelligence, the actions, the emotion, everything, sweat and blood, he gave it to Timothy and even to all of his disciples. Let us try to see the increasing and growing intimate father-son relationship, or father to daughter maybe, or mother to daughter. But I remember, no? So let us try to check this out. Timothy the disciple became first a companion, right? A companion and a delegate of Paul. Timothy was a trouble buddy of Paul. Second and third missionary journey, he was a trouble buddy. And we can also see here that he became an apostolic delegate in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and even in 2 Corinthians chapter 4:17. That he was there to solve a problem that he represented Paul. Meaning, there is a growing trust of Paul to Timothy. That there is what we call a sense of empowerment by making him a delegate of him. I sent Timothy on my behalf. Wow, what a confidence. What an empowerment of Tatay or Father Timothy to Paul. I sent Timothy to you to solve your problem. You don't need me. I only sent Timothy, that's enough. Is it not great? Is it not an empowerment to our disciples that whenever we disciple, we need to empower them, we need to send them. We need to believe that this man can represent us. There are so many growing disciples or mentors, they don't like that. Well, I think they are not really disciples. Number two, disciple Timothy was a fellow worker and a friend, a fellow worker and apprentice. He led him to Christ, we know. And in 1 Corinthians 4:17, a beloved and faithful child in the Lord. For this reason, I am sending to you, Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. He knows my way of life. That man that I'm sending to you, Corinthian believers, is a person who knows my way of life. He knows me, he knows my teaching, and he knows everything that I'm teaching to the church. Now I'm sending Timothy to you. He's my fellow worker. He knows me. What I think, he thinks. What I know, he knows. What I do, he does. That's the beauty of empowerment to our fellow worker and friends. The trust is growing deeper and deeper. My fellow worker, Romans chapter 16, 21. Timothy, my fellow worker, sends his greetings to you. Another one, the disciple Timothy now became an intimate brother. There is friendship, there is brotherhood. Then this co-worker relationship grows deeper into intimate brotherhood as the years grow and stay long. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker, in spreading the gospel of Christ to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. 1 Thessalonians 3:2. He's not just a co-worker, but he's a brother. In Ilocano, I'm an Ilocano. We have this term, we call it kabagis. Kabagis is brother. Kabagis or kabsat. There's a difference between kabagis and kabsat. Kabagis is like intestine, it intertwined. My intestine and your intestine is intertwined. Kabsat is just common term of brotherhood. But if you say kabagis, our intestines are intertwined. I know you. I know all your ins and outs. And that is, you cannot deny from me all your thoughts because we are like twins. Brotherhood here, as I believe, is like agkabagis. They are brothers. And I heard this message from Attorney Ochoco, the late Attorney Ochoco, that brother Timothy and brother Paul, they become first agkabagis. Their intestines are intertwined. They are inseparable. They know each other deeper than what others know. Do you have kabagis? Do you have kabagis in life? Hello? Do you have brothers like that in life? I think so. If you don't, try to build someone. Try to build that kind of relationship. One of my kabagis in life is Pastor Jose Abansek. I don't know if you know him. Another one is Pastor Francis Gura. And another one is my brother, Mariano Castagneto. He was with me. Even we are partners in crimes. And I thank the Lord because he's already a Christian. He married an Iglesia ni Cristo and he's a Catholic. and he was persuaded to become an iglesia ni Cristo. Then they had a friend. I said, please listen to your friend this and that. Because I wrote that he's a Methodist. Now he's a Christian. And I said to the Lord, Lord, praise the Lord. You heard my prayer for my kabagis, Mariano. And I have so many kabagis where I can really trust them. I can say all my feelings. I can say all my hurts. I can say even my mistakes in life, all my sins in life, that I can really give and pour out my heart to them. Do you have those people in your life? You are not blood related. You can tell your secrets in your life. That is kabagis. It's more than what others think as brotherhood, in sorority, in fraternity. No. They said that blood is thicker than water. I say to them, Christian blood is thicker than any biological blood. And that is what I experience to my brothers and my sisters. Billy has been my disciple. Right now, he's not my disciple only. He's my brother. He's my brother. Melvin is my disciple. Now, I consider them brothers. You know what? They know my ins and outs. They know my mistakes. They know how I sinned. They know my past life. I cannot hide anything from them. They know me. And then they understand me. But before, I am their teacher. But right now, I consider them brothers. Like kabagis. More than the brotherhood, Timothy was a son. Paul was a father. For this reason, I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did. With a clear conscience, as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith. As I keep on reading and reading this part of this passage, there is something that is deeper in that brotherhood. I remember your tears. I long to see you. It's like husband and wife. It's like father and son. It's like mother, daughter. I long to see you. I always wanted to see you. It's like you're in love always. Amen? If you're in love, you always wanted to see your wife and your husband. I miss you, right? You always miss your wife. You always miss your husband. You always miss your boyfriend, your girlfriend. Right, Jojo? I'm sorry. Oh, with boyfriend? Oh, not yet. Takot ka kaya ti Jojo. You always miss them. It seems like 1 hour is like 1,000 days if you did not receive any messenger message. And you're so lonely because you're in love. Your hearts are so near. And I feel this very personal and intimate, this second letter of Paul to Timothy. And this is like a father writing to his son, a close son, very unique son, to Timothy. A son and a father, they served together. He served with Paul in the gospel. Paul and Timothy grow in this intimate relationship. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 20 to 22, I have no one like him. Timothy was unique among all his associates. There is this deeper, that is the deeper meaning of discipleship. That you need to go deeper and deeper, more than just a teacher and a student. You know what? In APNTS, I feel that. I feel that relationship to my professors. I had this wonderful relationship with Dr. Fairbanks, Dr. Silvernail. I had a wonderful time with the theology teacher, from Australia, Brisbane. Dr. McEwan. And I had this deeper relationship with Dr. Dong Wan Kwon when we worked together in Ruenas for 3 years. That's the first time I saw that Dong Wan Kwon will roll his sleeves and eat with his hands in a very dirty place and eat with the people. I said to the Lord, Lord, this is the man. And we served the Lord together with that meal. And Billy Melvin saw this kind of relationship. I'll have that deeper relationship with these people. Now, Billy is like a brother. He's like my son and Melvin. Now, Billy is now becoming a father, not just a teacher, to another son, and that is Julius. Can you please come, Julius? So I just want to end in this kind of series from Pastor Jack, from Paul, to Timothy, and Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, then to here and to that. Come here, Billy, lika rito. Ayan. Huwag ka mahiya, kilala ka na eh. These people know you. Come on. Okay, Jojo will interpret. I want you to listen to a simple testimony of Julius. Okay, Billy was, he's a very good guy in Revenas before, and he's a gang leader. Okay, he's doing a lot of good things in Revenas. Now, he was changed by the Lord. So, we know how God changed him. Now, the Lord is using him to be a father, not just a teacher, to Julius. So, you know his testimony maybe. Now, let us listen to his testimony. A very short testimony, and thank you so much, Jojo, for interpreting. Bahala ka na.
Forgive my limited vocabularies.
But anyway, Julius is in his sixth grade. He's already 16, and he stayed in the streets of Tikling around here in Ortigas for 3 years. Okay, he's a street kid. Okay, so now he's staying with us, and I just want him to share how the Lord changed him.
Good morning po.
Good morning, everyone.
Ako po pala si Julius. Julius po.
I am Julius.
Nung una po, sa Rowenas lang po ako. Taga Rowenas po.
I am from Rowenas community.
Natuto ng maraming bisyo.
I had vices.
Ng tropa na hindi mo alam kung saan kanila hahatakin.
And bad influences.
Natuto akong manigarilyo, mag-inom.
I learned how to smoke and to drink.
Hanggang sa nadama yung pag-aaral ko.
Until it was already affecting my studies.
Kaya ngayon is naghahabol po ako para sa pangarap ko.
So now I'm trying to chase my dreams.
Nung 2018 po, nung bago po ako pumasok ng church.
Way back 2018, before I entered the church,
May umawak po sa akin na si Kuya Mark Vincent po na mentor ko po.
I was held by a mentor named Mark Vincent.
Lagi po siya nagsasabi sa amin na tara, church tayo. Kasi po, siya po yung taga-church po siya na pinipilit kaming hilain. 12 po kami. Wait lang.
He is always inviting us to come to the church. Come on, let's go to church.
Kami naman po is ayaw namin kasi po mas okay po kami. Naglalaro kami ng basketball. Naglalaro kasama mga tropa po.
But we were very reluctant because we would rather play basketball with our friends.
Isang araw po is nagkaroon po ng camp sa church po.
One day, there was a camp from the church.
Niyaya po ako ni Kuya Mark Vincent po, yung mentor ko po.
I was invited by the same mentor, Mark Vincent.
And ayaw po namin kasi po mas gusto namin yung una pong pinasukan namin na kampo.
But we did not want to go because we liked the first camp that we went to.
Kasi po parang mas gusto namin doon is kaya yun po ayaw po namin sumama kay Kuya Mark Vincent kasi pinipilit niya po kaming isama.
We really did not want to go with him.
And tapos, ngayon po, si yung mentor ko po, nagsabi po siya kay Pastor Billy po na siya po yung mag-iya sa amin. Tatlo po kami.
So, what was that again? So it was Billy this time, Pastor Billy, who invited them.
And yun po, nahiya naman na po kami kasi po si Pastor Billy na po. Pastor na po yung nag-iya sa amin.
So, but this time we felt shy to say no because this time it's a pastor inviting us.
And yun po ay ayaw po talaga namin. Ewan ko po kung bakit po, bet po kami sumama.
I don't know why I went.
Ang pagkaalam lang po namin is pupunta lang kami doon kasi niyaya po kami.
All I know is that I just went because I was invited.
Pero hindi ko po inasahan na doon lahat magbabago.
But I did not expect that right there everything is going to change.
Doon ko po unang nakilala si Lord is doon ko po siya unang nakilala na doon niya po ako binago.
That is when I first met Jesus and he first worked and changed me.
Yun po is marami na po akong nakilala na mga taga-church hanggang sa tumambay na po ako sa church.
I met everybody from the church until I was already always staying inside the church.
And yung mga tropa ko po dati na nandun pa rin po yung na tinatawag nila akong pastor.
And all my other friends call me a pastor.
Tapos syempre is nakilala ko na si Lord yun kaya hindi na ako nagpapapi.
So from that time on, I already met Jesus and I never listened to them again.
Yun po, iningitian ko na lang po sila.
I just smile to them whenever they call me pastor.
Yun po, marami pong nagbago sa akin simula nung paglabas ko po ng camp.
A lot of things changed when I joined that camp.
Yun, marami rin po ako naging kaibigan. Nandiyan po si Pastor Billy, Sir Melvin, tumata yung parents ko po, and Pastor Jack.
I had many more friends and I had parents like Billy, Melvin, and Pastor Jackson.
Yun po is napakalaking blessing po na nabago ako ni Lord.
It was a big blessing for me that I was changed by the Lord.
And yun po, maraming salamat.
Thank you very much.
Julius, we called him before. He was very young. The first disciple that I had was his mother. So I am a godparent of his two brothers. He's actually the eldest. And his mother is always crying. And he was actually, it's a domestic violence. Violence against women. So he was always spanked by his husband. And he always come in the church to ask for help and assistance. I always talk to his father to not do that. And I actually went to the barangay, to the police, to blatter your father. His father didn't like me. So I'm a protector of the mothers and the women in our place. If they spank the women, they go to me, and then they will cry, and then we bring them, and then we pray for them. And I said, Lord, actually, his father is already coming to change, and his mother now attending another church, and I'm so blessed. Now they see the change. God is making some changes in the family. And we have so many these responsibilities to do for Julius. That's just one. Just one soul at a time. One soul, two souls, three souls. I don't know how God will use you. As you stay in the seminary, I pray that don't just linger in being a teacher or a mentor or just a brother. But let us try to build a deeper relationship together with our mentees, our students, as father and son, as mother and daughter, serving the Lord as a family. And that's one thing that I like in this Christian family, that we are all related. That the relationship is so intimate that whatever happens, he's always there. He's always there to help me out. And I believe that Timothy was an encouragement for Paul, that even during his death, he can say, "Praise the Lord and rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say it, rejoice. Don't stop discipling. Start with one or two or three. And let's just stay here in the seminary. And you know, life will be changed. You don't know what will happen to them. It's just the Lord will talk to them. And learn to grow with these people. I'm growing. I'm growing with Pastor Billy. I'm growing with Melvin. I'm growing with Julius. Let us grow together in this wonderful relationship of father and son, mother and daughter relationship in our discipleship. Let us give that wonderful intimacy. Don't hold anything that you have. Just be honest. You grow together, step by step, year by year, day by day. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we are so thankful for this wonderful time of reflecting, Lord God, of that wonderful relationship that you have shared to us about Paul and Timothy. And same thing, Lord God, that you did, Jesus, to your disciples. And until now, Lord God, we're following your footsteps. We are growing, Lord God, with our disciples. We are growing together, Lord God, with our sons and daughters. We are growing with our professors. We are growing, Lord God, with the staff. We are growing with our brothers and sisters here in the seminary. As we depart from this place, Lord God, here in the seminary, help us continue, Lord God, to grow with our mentors, with our fathers, with our mothers, Lord. Teach us, Lord God, to be more intimate with those people whom you've given us. And may we share the love that you have shared to us for free. We give you all the glory and praise because it is you, O Lord, by your grace, who help us grow in this wonderful, dynamic discipleship relationship. Because you, our Jesus, is in the midst of this wonderful relationship. Amen and amen.